I say yes.
Then no, she says. I haven't changed my mind.
The first time I sailed in a yacht club race with my father, I was 14, and he was dead set against it. I wasn't old enough, I wasn't mature enough, the weather was too iffy. What he really was saying was that having me crew for him was more likely to lose him the cup than to win it. In my father's eyes, if you weren't perfect, you simply weren't. His boat was a USA 1 class, a marvel of mahogany and teak. One he'd bought from the keyboard player Jay Giles up in Marblehead. In other words, a dream, a status symbol, and a rite of passage all wrapped up in a gleaming white sail and honey-colored hull. We hit the start dead on, crossing the line at full sail just as the cannon shot off. I did my best to be a step ahead of where my father needed me to be, guiding the rudder before he even gave the order. Jibbing and tacking until my muscles burned with effort. And maybe this even would have had a happy ending, but then a storm blew in from the north, bringing sheets of rain and swells that stretched 10 feet high, pitching us from height to gully. I watched my father move in his yellow slicker. He didn't seem to notice it was raining. He certainly didn't want to crawl into a hole and clutch his sick stomach and die like I did. "Campbell!" he bellowed. "Come about!" But to turn into the wind meant to ride another roller coaster up and down. "Campbell!" my father repeated. "Now!" A trough opened up in front of us. The boat dipped so sharply I lost my footing. My father lunged past me, grabbing for the rudder. For one blessed moment the sails went still. Then the boom whipped across and the boat tacked along an opposite course. "I need coordinates," my father ordered. Navigating meant going down into the hull where the charts were, and doing the math to figure out what heading we had to be on to reach the next race buoy. But being below, away from the fresh air, only made it worse. I opened a map just in time to throw up all over it. My father found me by default, because I hadn't returned with an answer. He poked his head down and found me sitting in a puddle of my own vomit. "For Christ's sake," he muttered, and left me. It took all the strength I had to pull myself up after him. He jerked the wheel and yanked at the rudder. He pretended I wasn't there. And when he jibbed, he didn't call it. The sail whizzed across the boat, ripping the seam of the sky. The boom flew, clipped me on the back of the head, and knocked me out. I came to just as my father was stealing the wind of another boat mere feet from the finish line. The rain had mellowed to a mist, and as he put our craft between the airstream and our closest competitor, the other boat fell back. We won by seconds. I was told to clean up my mess and take the taxi in while my father sailed the dory to the yacht club to celebrate. It was an hour later when I finally arrived. And by then he was in high spirits, drinking scotch from the crystal cup he had won. "Here comes your crew, Cam," a friend called out. My father lifted the victory cup in salute, drank deeply, and then slammed it down so hard on the bar that its handle shattered. "Oh," said another sailor, "that's a shame." My father never took his eyes off me. "Isn't it, though?" he said. On the rear bumper of practically every third car in Rhode Island, you'll find a red and white sticker celebrating the victims of some of the bigger criminal cases in the state. My friend Katie DeKubelis was killed by a drunk driver. My friend John Sisson was killed by a drunk driver. These are given out at school fairs and fundraisers and hair salons. And it doesn't matter if you never knew the kid who got killed. You put them on your vehicle out of solidarity and secret joy that this tragedy did not happen to you. Last year, there were red and white stickers with a new victim's name, Dina DeSalvo. Unlike the other victims, this was one I knew marginally. She was the 12-year-old daughter of a judge. who reportedly broke down during a custody trial held shortly after the funeral and took a 3-month leave of absence to deal with his grief. The same judge, incidentally, who has been assigned to